Evangeline Schreck, who wasn't really a Schreck at all, if truth be told, came home at last to Tower Schreck and stood for a long time in its cold, dark shadow, trying to stop trembling. From the outside, it looked like just another building, steel and glass and the family colors that marked it as one of the legendary pastel towers, home to the clans. Tower Schreck was as tall as any of them, but its windows were strangely blank, like so many unblinking eyes. To Evangeline, it was the witch's cave, the demon's lair, the dark place that calls to us in familiar voices in our worst nightmares. Evangeline had been born in that tower, in that dark place, and not so very long ago. In its terrible embrace, she lived a life of pain, horror, and torment, until at last a dashing prince came and loved her, and gave her the courage to break free of the ogre who held her enchained. And now she'd come back, though she'd sworn she never would. Back home again, to save her best friend from the hell she'd known so well. Her love didn't know she was here. She'd let Finley Campbell believe she was off on another mission for the Clone Underground. If he'd known she was going back to Tower Schreck, he'd have tried to stop her or talk her out of it, and she couldn't have that. This was something she had to do for herself, however much it hurt. She was here to see the monster, her father, Gregor Schreck. He wanted her back, and she was back, but this time it was on her terms. He thought he held all the cards, owned all the advantages, but she had a few surprises of her own, just for him. Just for dear Daddy. The man who murdered his only daughter, Evangeline, and afterwards had her cloned in secret to produce the present Evangeline. The man who loved both the original and her clone as a man rather than a father. Who abused his position and his daughter's love. Who took his Evangelines to his bed and taught them far more about pain than pleasure. The devil in his hell, Gregor Schreck. Hatred pulsed in her like a heartbeat, surging through her like blood, forcing out the fear. She took a deep breath to steady herself, and then walked calmly towards the guards covering the main entrance to Tower Schreck. They looked more like beetles than men in their extensive black body armor, faces hidden behind stylized sensor masks. They carried heavy guns and moved as one to train them on her as she approached. There were six of them, but they didn't scare her. She wasn't frightened of them. She stopped a cautious distance away and stared at them haughtily.
"I'm Evangeline Schreck. I'm here to see my father, Gregor. Inform him I'm here."
The guards looked at her for a moment, and then at each other. She presumed they were holding a brief but intense conversation through their comm implants before daring to disturb their master, the Schreck. It wasn't long before they stood back and gestured to admit her to the tower through the main entrance. She strode forward, head held high. She entered Tower Schreck with only the faintest of shudders, and walked on into the lobby. It had been redecorated since she last saw it. All comforts and attractive details had been snipped away, leaving only a large bare chamber with a concrete floor and blank steel walls. She heard footsteps behind her, and made herself turn slowly to face the single guard who'd come into the lobby after her. The door closed behind him. He spoke to her without removing his mask.
"The Lord Schreck awaits you in his private quarters, Lady Evangeline. I'm to escort you there after a full security search."
"Lord Schreck? There are no lords anymore. Doesn't he know that?"
"The Schreck goes his own way in all things. Remove your clothes, all of them. Place to one side any weapons or devices you may be carrying."
Evangeline nodded stiffly. She'd been expecting that. Gregor thought everyone wanted to kill him these days. Mostly he was right. She took her clothes off with as little fuss as possible, concentrating on why she was there. It helped that the guard looked inhuman and anonymous in his armor and mask. She wondered if Gregor was watching through the sensors in the mask. Probably. Finally, she was naked, her clothes in a neat pile on the floor. She was glad the lobby was warm. She wouldn't have wanted to shiver in the cold. The guard, or his master, might have thought she was upset. She fixed the insect mask with a steady glare.
"That's it. No clothes, no weapons. But if you touch me with so much as a fingertip, I'll tell Daddy. Do you really want him to know you touched something he believes belongs only to him?"
The guard hesitated, and then nodded jerkily and indicated for her to get dressed again. She did so, not letting the guard or her nerves hurry her. When she was ready again, the guard led the way to the single elevator at the back of the lobby, and they both got in. He stepped back a pace so he could cover Evangeline with his gun. She ignored him, staring at the glowing numbers set over the door as they slowly changed. So far, everything was going as planned. For all his paranoia, Gregor still couldn't see her as a serious threat. She was his little Evie, his plaything, to do with as he wished. Old memories ran through her like an icy river. The few years she'd spent here, an eternity of torment, in a hell she never deserved. She was born here, fully grown, a clone of a woman the outside world could never know was dead. She was taught to be a perfect copy of the original Evangeline, so that she might hide from society the dreadful thing Gregor had done. And so that he could continue to have his pleasures in the way he'd grown accustomed. It was the only life she'd ever known, until she met Finley at court, at a masked ball, and it was love at first sight. They talked and laughed, eyes sparkling through their masks, each warming to the other's heart for the first time in their lives. Then the masks came off at midnight, and they discovered they were a Shrek and a Campbell, two families that had been at war with each other for generations, and of which each of them was the heir. Their love would have been a scandal, unacceptable, and Evangeline knew that Gregor would rather kill her than lose her. Still worse, he might kill Finley. So they kept their love secret, snatching moments together when they could, until finally she broke free of Gregor, and they were together at last. They had reached the top floor. It was like hell in reverse. You had to go all the way up to reach the darkest, foulest part of the pit. The door slid open, and the guard escorted her down the bare steel corridor. She couldn't help but notice that their footsteps were loud and carrying on the metal floor. Gregor wanted to know when anyone was coming. Other guards stood to attention here and there along the length of the corridor, anonymous armored figures with guns at the ready. Not beetles anymore, Evangeline decided, demons in the hall of hell. She made herself look straight ahead and wouldn't let her mouth tremble. Eventually, she and her dark companion came to a halt before the extra-thick steel door that was the only entrance to her father's private quarters. It was a very special door, designed to stand off a bomb or a disruptor blast with equal ease. Evangeline stood stiffly before it as the guard announced their presence.
"Come in, little Evie, and join your forgiving father. Guard 6, take up position outside the door. We are not to be disturbed for any reason."
Evangeline realized the demon beside her had to be Guard 6. Typical of Gregor to have guards with numbers instead of names. The door swung slowly open, and Evangeline held herself tightly together as she walked unhurriedly into the ogre's lair. It was important not to walk so slowly that she might appear scared or reluctant, or so quickly that it might seem she was jumping to obey an order. Appearances were everything now. They were all she had to work with. The door closed behind her as she stopped and looked around her. Gregor Schreck had made changes in his private quarters since she was there last. They now looked as dark and evil and disturbing as he was. The windowless walls of the great chamber were a dark crimson, the color of drying blood, or organs ripped untimely from a body. The wide room was now a great scarlet womb with concealed bloody lighting, and dark shadows hung everywhere. The thick pile carpet beneath her feet was the color of sunburned skin, deep enough to muffle any sound. To every side stood grisly trophies from Gregor's most recent victims. There was a pile of severed hands on a silver tray, heaped carelessly on top of each other. A row of preserved severed heads stood on stakes, all looking faintly surprised, their mouths falling open as though in shock at what had been done to them. None of them had eyes. A low cupboard displayed a row of severed feet. They hadn't been arranged in pairs of left and right, but someone had wrapped them in pretty ribbons and painted their toenails black. And there, reclining at his ease on a wide, comfortable bed shaped from gigantic rose petals, lay the dark heart of that dark kingdom, Gregor Schreck. He'd always been short and fat, a greasy, perspiring doughball of a man, but he'd put on a lot of weight during their separation. He was huge now, bulging with flesh, his face almost perfectly round, crushing his features into the center of his face. The mouth was a pursed rosebud, the eyes so deeply set they were barely visible. He was dressed all in black, slashed with scarlet streaks, and looked like nothing so much as a gigantic, gorged leech.
So, you've come home to me at last. Back to where you belong. I always knew you would, my dear, loving daughter.
I'm here because you abducted my friend, Penny DiCarlo, and threatened to kill her if I didn't come. And that's the only reason I'm here. Where is she? What have you done with her?
So impatient. No one has time for the civilized little courtesies anymore. Don't you have a kiss for your dear daddy?
I could, but then I'd have to cut off my lips for having touched you. Where's Penny?
Ah, impetuous youth. Children always want their presents right now. Very well, Evie. Never let it be said that I am not an indulgent father. You may see your little friend, Penny. I've been taking ever such good care of her. She always was a little headstrong, but I've taken care of that.
Gregor gestured languidly with a huge fat hand, and a panel in the left wall slid open, revealing two severed heads in glass jars. One was Penny DiCarlo. Evangeline's hands flew to her mouth to stifle a scream, and only then did she realize that the heads were still alive. Their eyes were aware and suffering, and their mouths moved to shape words, though nothing could be heard. Penny was pale-skinned with short dark hair and would have been beautiful in any other circumstances. The second head was that of an old man with long white hair and mustache floating gently in the preservative fluids. Both heads stared sadly at Evangeline, and she made herself lower her hands and swallow her shock. She couldn't afford to show weakness, not here. She glared at Gregor.
Oh, they're very much alive. The one on the right is Professor Wax, quite a prominent scientist in his day, now an overqualified paperweight. Valentine gave him to me, already in his glass jar. It seemed a shame not to have a matching pair, and I had to do something to express my displeasure when you defied me by not returning immediately. So you could say this is really all your fault. I think they look very smart together. I may start a collection. The ones on stakes are fun, but their torment is over.
Why can't I hear them? Have you cut out their vocal cords, too?
Of course not, my dear. Where would be the fun in that? I just haven't turned on the speakers yet. I have to have them off now and again, just to get a little peace and quiet. Though admittedly, Penny doesn't scream nearly as much as she used to.
He gestured again. Penny's head fixed its sad eyes on Evangeline's, and the mouth tried to move in a smile.
You shouldn't have come here, Evie. He's mad, quite mad.
I've always known that, but I had to come back here to get you. I didn't know.
Oh, Evie.
Penny's face screwed up as though it would have liked to cry, but that was no longer possible in the preservative fluids.
Hush, child, hush.
It was the white-haired head beside her.
Don't distress yourself. Be strong. We must be strong. Don't give that fat bastard the satisfaction.
Oh, dear Waxy, I'd go mad if it weren't for you, for your comfort.
Aren't they sweet? They're lovebirds. A meeting of minds, if you like.
Wax's eyes turned to look at Evangeline.
Get Penny out of here, if you can. She doesn't deserve this. I do. I created machines whose only purpose was death and destruction, and saw them used to wipe out the whole world's population. I saw them die over and over again. Men and women and innocent children. And somewhere along the line, I developed a conscience. I never cared about the suffering of my test subjects. I told myself I was defending the Empire from its enemies. But the death of a whole world sickened even me. I deserve to be here. No amount of punishment can atone for what I made possible. But dear Penny is innocent. She doesn't belong here in hell with Gregor and me. Please, get her out of here.
I won't go without you. Your words of comfort kept me sane, gave me hope when it would have been so easy to escape into madness. You helped me deny Gregor that pleasure. I won't abandon you. Get out of here, Evie. Gregor's lost all restraint. He doesn't care about anything now, except revenge.
What else is there worth caring about? The rebels are turning my whole world upside down, rewriting history to make themselves out to be virtuous heroes, while they loot the Empire to fund their political fantasies. The barbarians have broken down the gates and stormed the city. What is left now but to take what revenge we can before the final night falls?
And what revenge do you have in mind for me?
I've been thinking about that for some time. Either you return to me and be my loving, dutiful daughter in every way, or I'll make you suffer in ways you never dreamed possible. You're in my realm now, where the only limits are the limits of my imagination. And when I've wrung every last gasp of suffering from you, I'll hack your pretty head off your pretty shoulders and stick you in a jar next to the others. And maybe I'll piss in your preservative fluids now and again, just for fun. I can always use the rest of your body to produce a new clone to satisfy my other needs. A third Evangeline. I'll be more careful with this one. Avoid the mistakes I made with you by giving you too much freedom. So, one way or another, you will serve me, dear Evie. Your old life ended the moment you walked in here.
People will come looking for me. The clone underground.
To hell with them. I could stand off an army from within here. And the New Order won't allow a war with someone as potentially useful as I.
Finley!
To hell with him, too. I'll have him killed anyway, for daring to tempt you away from me, for having touched you. No one will be too surprised when unknown assassins gun him down in an ambush. Finley has a lot of enemies out there. I'd like his death to last longer, so I could savor his pain. But best not take risks with a warrior of Finley's stamp. No one will trace the death back to me. I have a lot of experience in covering my tracks. No, I can do whatever I want to do to you, and damn the consequences, because I am Gregor Schreck. And no one can deny me anything.